no Paolo Banchero. So we kind of have a nice little opportunity here to go 6-0. And this is, and so I think every game with Kenny Atkinson, at least early in the season, is another opportunity to test the theory of the difference of Kenny Atkinson and how much he's making. Because this is the kind of game where certainly last year, but even the year before, that the Cavs would drop inexplicably. It was the other team's best players out, and the Cavs would play down, and it would require like a 35-point Donovan night, and like 20 of those points would have to be in the fourth quarter. And it would be hero ball, iso ball Donovan late in the fourth quarter. And this early in the season, every time that would happen, you would wince because you're like, why do we need this effort from Donovan to beat a Magic team without the guy that stirs the drink for them? So in a way, this is an interesting little test tonight. I know Orlando has the Wagner brothers. I know that they've got a couple other interesting players there. But this is a really nice case that if you go 6-0 here, don't just discount it as, well, you beat the Magic without Paolo Banchero. This is another opportunity to not play down to your opponent. And I think that is one of the things that you have to disprove very early on. But in our pre-show today, Mac and I started batting around a conversation that I think is pretty interesting with where the Cavs are, because it's all about expectations. And I think you guys know, right now where I am, I'm not trying to look too far ahead on the expectation thing. The Browns have been such an uneventful disaster. I shouldn't say uneventful. It's been very eventful, but they've been a disaster. But it's been such a nightmare. And up until a week ago, the vibes were so disastrously low. I mean, even going into, like, I remember texting people who were, like, tailgating ahead of the Bengals game before Deshaun got injured. And, I mean, there's the general bacchanalia that comes with it's drinking and eating a lot of really good food. But, like, the vibes were down. And so I've looked to the Cavs to be my sanity, my good time soldier, right? My sweet cheese, right? I started mixing up the saying from What We Do in the Shadow. My good time boy, that's what it is. They're an extension of the Guardians' success to me. And one of the things that made the Guardians so awesome this year is that success really wasn't tainted by stupid, idiotic expectations by 10% of the fan base until they lost the ALCS. And then even then, I'm sorry, you can't talk me into hating on a team that massively overshot the expectations. Yeah, you do the Dolans thing. You do the Chernetti aren't good at their job thing. I'm just going to sit over here and be thankful for really good baseball that I didn't expect this year. Now, the Cavs are different. But the one thing letting go of J.B. Bickerstaff did is it did reset my clock. And because they're having a fast start, I can just sit back, enjoy the new style of basketball, appreciate that every single thing I've wanted for this team, in the regular season, I should say, is happening finally after some, and I would say last year was disastrous. You won, 48, 49 games. You got to the second round of the playoffs. It wasn't a disaster. But it felt like it could have looked so much differently. I don't think you're topping Boston without Donovan. All right? And especially not without Donovan and Jarrett. But so much of what the Cavs are doing right now is aiding to building the kind of habits you need to be competitive and to avoid blowouts in series like against a team like Boston, who is a team that can just go on these majestic runs of 30 points at a rip because they hit 10 straight threes. If you go cold, the game is done. Well, how they play offense right now is a way to combat that, because it's not just, are we hitting copious amounts of threes or not? It's not just, well, is Donovan dropping 45 in this game or not? Like, everybody has an opportunity to be the hot hand, and then you go with that hot hand when it's available. Everybody's confident at getting in on that action when that moment comes. Because it's not as simple as, well, this is Donovan, it's Donovan and the Donettes, right? No, everybody knows, hey, if I'm hot, the ball's going to find me because of this system, because of what they're doing. Oh, and hey, when we come out of timeouts, There's going to be a plan here and a play here that allows you to kind of get opportunities to make those plays. But the conversation we got into pre-show, honestly, it's kind of similar to some of the conversations we've had with like the Browns and the importance of the game on Sunday. Because it's all about a specific amount of games and what you need to see. And generally, like, okay, these five games have been a lot of fun. I need about 15 more. When we get to the 20-game mark, that's roughly 25% of the season. We get 25% of the way through the season. That's a good first check-in. What's working? What isn't working? Are you healthy? All that kind of stuff. You know, where you start to think about things like, okay, does this team need a piece at the deadline? Now, in the reality, there's another 20, 21, 22 games before you get to the All-Star break, or about halfway through the season, which is usually about January. But there is, like, okay, now we're starting to, like, visualize what this team's looked like. So I'm not ready to change the expectations. Hell, I'm not ready to have them. This is just friends with benefits right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right? I'm going to develop feelings. I know. I'm that guy. Yeah. You hang out long with it. This is why I never worked out in college, because you hang out with me long enough, I catch feelings. I'm a sappy bee. All right? So I know the more I watch the Cavs early, at some point, I myself will flip the switch. And at some point, I'm going to go, Super Bowl, Super Cavs, right? But I think, like, that's a generic statement. And the conversation we got into pre-show is, what do the Cavs have to do to prove that they're on Boston's level? Because Dave McMenamin was with us 2 days ago before LeBron was in town. And Dave spoke to a generality about the Cavs that I actually think is pretty wide set. Like, I think the group think in the NBA is pretty widespread. So when you hear McMenamin say this, I think this is kind of the thought on the Cavs and maybe their ceiling in the regular season for this season as of going into the season.
I think it's a realistic view of this group that they could be the third best team in the East behind. I think Boston's going to be the runaway, and the Knicks, I would put them above them. But the way the Sixers have started their year, just a complete mess. And Milwaukee certainly doesn't look like they've figured things out under Doc Rivers yet. And then, you know, the Pacers, I know they made the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. That they have a nice team, but I would put the Cavs stacked above them, even if they didn't have this 4-0 start. I think that should be a realistic goal for them. You know, the beauty of if you get the 3 seed, you know, you can avoid playing the Boston Celtics in the second round if you get through your first round opponent.
Honestly, if the Cavs continue this, what they're doing, and I'm not saying go 20-0, but if they continue to play this style of basketball and they're winning at a 650-700 clip, I'm gonna really start to reassess their place in the East. Because I think what the first five games are proving is the Cavs have done a lot of really good things the last 2 years. But I don't think in any of the first two seasons, once they've gotten to the playoffs or during the stretch run, that they've played at their ceiling. They peaked too early both years. I don't think that's what this is. I think the things that you're doing right now are the ways that you'd never really peak in a specific way, and that you just find out how to operate near your ceiling for most of the season. That's how you overtake Boston. Now, in fairness, 20 games it doesn't prove that you can overtake Boston. But it's so funny, man. I was talking about this yesterday, and when Danny was with us, I put out a couple things on TikTok, and somebody was like, somebody was like, oh, well, the regular season doesn't matter. And I'm like, you've never been more wrong. You really haven't. Because the one seed is in play. And not just for the Cavs. It's in play for the Knicks. It's in play for a team like the Pacers. It's in play for all these teams. Because one, Boston isn't infallible. They're a really good team, and their style of play makes it really hard to beat them. And they have two proven, bona fide top 10 stars who now have chips on their shoulder thanks to Team USA. Because one guy got benched and the other guy didn't make the team at all, which honestly, Jaylen Brown, I think, deserves to be on that team more than Jason Tatum, but that's a conversation for another day. But, like, it's interesting to me. Like, I don't know Boston's going to care as much about the one seed as they have in previous years, because once the Cavs won the championship, we kind of stopped caring about that, because you realize, well, you've gotten over the hump. Now you just need to go ahead and stay healthy and figure out the stretch run. Oh, and by the way, Boston isn't infallible. There are things that can hold them back, including the generic health crap, but whatever weird dynamic there still is between Brown and Tatum, that's still there. That didn't go away just because they won a championship. That doesn't mean they're going to win 40 games, but it also doesn't mean they're going to win 60 games in the East. So what the Cavs do in the regular season does matter, because if you can get the number one seed, that's how you start to prove to people that you are on the level of Boston. Then you got to go do it in the playoffs, and that's done by winning series and how you win series and all that. But this idea that the regular season doesn't matter, I think we're watching two different teams if that's what you're thinking. 216-474-0092. What do the Cavs have to do to prove they're on Boston's level? That's one half. The other half is there's just a certain amount that the only way you're going to prove this is if you go into the playoffs and if you shock the world by actually beating Boston or pushing them in a 7-game series. They have not done that yet. This could be the year. If the first 5 games are any test there. Jason Pinkston, we're going to talk with him. Former Browns offensive lineman joins us every single Friday at 3:20. We'll talk about Miles' guarantee next on 92.3 The Fan.